All right, so to get started, we're going to do some basic project setup, and then we're going to talk immediately about our approach working with the Weather API. And so let's go ahead and get started by just creating a new project and getting that part of it out of the way. We'll find our correct blank app template here, and I'm going to call this UWP Weather. Okay, and the first thing I'm going to do here is get rid of the frame counter, like always, and I'll open up the main page.xaml. Okay, so what I have envisioned here is a pretty simple application. It's just going to have the current weather for the current location you're at. You can extend this, and I'll show you how you can make this as complicated and as feature-rich as you want. It's just pretty much more of the same of what I'm going to show you here in this lesson, or in these lessons. So now that we have that in place, I'm going to go ahead and minimize this. We're going to pull our data from a website called openweathermap.org. By all rights, if you're going to use this in a commercial product, you need to sign up for an API, and then if your requests are in excess of a certain number per month, you'll need to get a paid license. So, for example, for $180 a month, as I record this, you can have 30,000 API calls per minute. Now, for just our own purposes in learning and development, we're not going to get any more than 1,200 APIs per minute, API calls per minute. But here again, you probably need to consult their website. I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand all of the ramifications of this. This is purely for us learning how to make a call to a web service. So I'm going to leave that part of it to between you and Open Weather Map, but I'm going to look at the API, and there's several different weather APIs that we can call. API will be basically a web callable API. That means we use a URL to make a call, and it will deliver back to us either JSON or XML or some file format that then we can parse through and use as data for our application. So there's current weather data, which is the one we're going to use. There's also 5-day, 3-hour forecast, 16-day daily forecast, a bunch of other APIs. We're going to focus on this first one, the current weather data. And you can see in the openweathermap.org/current that there are different ways to make calls into this weather API. For example, if all we have is the city name, then we can give it something like that, where we replace this curly brace city name with, for example, Dallas or Dallas, comma, USA. All right, and we would get back the weather, the current weather for that location. And so there's a number of different ways that we can acquire this. We can use a city ID. So there's a list of IDs that we can download and utilize. We can get to the weather by geographic coordinates. And this is the one that we're going to use because we're going to use our device's built-in GPS functionality or location functionality to bring us back the latitude, longitude for the current position of our device, and then we'll deliver that as latitude and longitude to this API call and retrieve back the current weather conditions for it. Or we could also use zip code, and there's some advanced scenarios as well that we're not going to really worry about all that much. But if you like, you could scroll down, you can learn a lot about what's delivered back to you. When you make one of these calls into this API. So let's do this. What we'll do, first of all, I'm going to start by saying Dallas latitude longitude, and this will give me back the coordinates. So 32.77 north, and I think this is it might be negative 96.79 west. So west would be a negative. But at any rate, let me copy those coordinates and put them just in a little notepad file that I have here off screen so that I can remember those. And then what we'll do is we'll come back over here and I'm going to find this In fact, let me just go ahead and click on it to start off with, and then I'm going to change the latitude and longitude here to 32.77, and then I'll change the latitude to a negative 96.79, and I'm going to see what we get back. And you can see what we get back is a series of JSON. A JSON, JavaScript Object Notation, a very lightweight way of exposing data over the internet, very common way of exposing data. And while this might look a little convoluted, it actually follows a very simple pattern. But let's do this. I'm going to actually use my mouse to select that entire JSON string that even runs off to the right-hand side of the screen. And I'm going to hit Control C to copy this to my clipboard. Then I'm going to go to another website called JSON to C Sharp. What this is going to allow me to do is to paste in the JSON, right, like this. And now when I hit generate, what will happen is it'll create a series of classes that represent that JSON. So now I have C Sharp classes that I can then deserialize the JSON into these strongly typed classes in C Sharp. All right, so you can see at the very highest level here, I'll have a root object, and this root object will have a list of weather items, and then there's just a series of other classes that were created: a main class, a wind class, a rain class, a clouds class, and other information as well. For example, the sys class will give us the county, a message, the sunrise, sunset time, so just a ton of information. In the main class, there's pressure, humidity. In the weather class, we can get an icon and a description for the current weather. And so what we're going to do is actually, I'm going to copy all of this to my clipboard, and I'm going to create something called here in Visual Studio. I'm going to go over here and right click. Well, actually, let me go ahead and select Project, Add Class, and I'm going to call this an Open Weather Map Proxy. And a proxy is a go-between. That might not be the best name for this, but it's what kind of came off the top of my head. And inside of this, I'm actually going to paste all these other classes as well. All right, so my thought process here is that I'm going to have a static method on this Open Weather Map proxy, and what it will do is it will when you give it the latitude and longitude, it's going to feed it to this web service URL that we have here, replacing the latitude and the longitude that we're going to get from our device's GPS, and it will convert the data that comes back in JSON format into a series of classes that we can then navigate through, pull out the bits we want to display to the user on the screen. Okay, hopefully that all made sense. You'll see it as we move forward here. All right, so what I want to do just as we start playing with this idea is actually let me go ahead and get rid of that. I'm gonna start with a just with a stack panel. I'm not going to get too fancy with this just to begin with, but I'm going to set the background to hot pink because I saw a cool demo with a hot pink background. It looked pretty cool, and it's very different from anything else that you'll see out there right now. All right, I'm going to add a button with content equal get weather, and let's say set a click event. And I think that's all I need to do there. And then I'm going to add a text block. And we're going to call this, name this result text block. Now, I want you to know that this is not ultimately what I'm going to have for my layout. This is just for me to be able to test the process of going out and grabbing the data and then displaying something to the user. Once I can get that hardest, here's my thought process. Whenever I go sit down to build an application, I always like to tackle the most difficult aspects of the application first, because then I get some some degree of confidence that I know what it will do. I don't make any assumptions beforehand, what it's going to do, how it's going to operate, that might adjust the way that I lay things out, the way that I approach the rest of the application. So I always attack the most difficult part of the application first. Now, typically, that's going to be any of the internals of the application. So it's going to be business logic. It's going to be any data access. It's going to be making calls out to web APIs like we're doing here. Once I can get those question marks in my mind resolved, then it makes the rest of the building the rest of the application fairly easy. So that's what I'm doing here. I'm just going to create some initial code that I'm going to ultimately I'll probably throw all this stuff away. All right. All right. So at any rate, let's go ahead and hit F12 there. And so now we have a button click event. And we're going to make a call into this OpenWeatherMapProxy class. And what I want to do is create a public static root object getWeather. All right, and eventually I'll pass in the latitude longitude. Should I do that now? Yeah, sure, why not? I can always ignore it. Oops, double latitude, double longitude. All right, great. All right, so what I need to do is make a call out to this web service. And the way that I'll do that is through a class called the HTTP client. And so to add this, I'm actually going to go to Tools, NuGet Package Manager. And I'm going to manage NuGet packages for the solution. And I'm going to search for the HTTP client. All right. And I'm going to install this. And it asks me, do you want to add all these? Yes. And I accept. All right, very good. So now what I want to do is go here. Should be able to find it. Yeah, so I'm going to add that using statement. So we'll go var HTTP equals new HTTP client, like so. And now what I want to do is get a response object. This is of type HTTP response message, and I'm going to get to it by calling the get async method. And so what we'll do is give it a URI, a string URI that we're going to request. Now, anytime we see the word async, what do we need to do? Remember the formula. We need to say, I will wait for the results. And that means I need to tell my method that this is an async method, right? And then I need to give it the URL. Now, if you recall what we did here, I should be able to just copy this in for testing purposes, right? And just go ahead and pop that in there like so. And we should be able to get back whatever data comes from that comes back from that method. Next up, I need to grab a result, and the result will be what comes back in the response dot content dot read as string async. All right, again, we see the async keyword. That means we need to await that as well. And now I have this in a string format, okay? Now what I need to do is I need to serialize. I need to take all that string that we see when we looked here, and we need to convert that into an object graph. So all of the root object and all of the objects that it has references to. All right, and to do that, what I need to do is use an object called the data contract JSON serializer. So let me go. I'm going to create something called a serializer. It's an object that knows how to serialize and deserialize from JSON. And so we'll go data contract JSON serializer. All right, as you can see, it's not really part of my project just yet. However, I can just hit control period and I can add that system.runtime.serialization.json namespace. And we should be good to go there. And I need to give it the type of class that I want to work with. In this case, we'll start with a root object and it'll have references to everything else that it needs. Oh, we need to create a new instance of that. There we go. Okay. Now, in order for this to work, we have to do something. We have to adorn each of these classes and their properties with special attributes. So to get this to work right, every class is going to have to be adorned with something called a data contract. All right, this attribute is in a namespace that we need to add, system.runtime.serialization. All right, so this will just tell the serializer that, hey, treat this like a class and treat this like a property. So we'll go data member for each property. So now I have to go through and add that attribute on top of every class and every member of the class. So I'm just going to go ahead and do this. It's going to take me a minute or two. I'm just copying and pasting a lot. And this is a common thing that you'll do whenever you're calling out to web APIs. And I don't think that you could be a professional developer nowadays without knowing these techniques of being able to serialize and deserialize from XML and JSON format, and maybe other custom formats too, like some binary format. It's a pretty crucial skill to have in your tool belt. So this is just one possible way to go about this. Now I see something that caught my eye just a moment ago, and it spurred a memory of frustrations past. Let me get back to it here just a second. There will be some things that I want to change the names of that I don't like how they're automatically named by that tool that we used, that free website that converts your JSON into C# POCO classes. Yeah, for example, this item here has an invalid name. In fact, what I'm going to do is just comment this out completely. I'm not going to even use this at all. And hopefully the deserializer, the data contract JSON serializer, will just say, oh, okay, they don't have a class for that. We'll just ignore that as it tries to pair up all of the data that it has with all the class and property names. All right, so that's the only thing that I think I was concerned about. Let's go ahead and continue on here. So now what we're going to need to do is get a memory stream. So new memory stream. And let me go ahead and hit control period on my keyboard. And add the system.io namespace. And I want to tell it that we're working with a certain type of encoding, specifically the UTF-8 encoding, and we're going to call get bytes. The reason why we're doing this is kind of a long story, and I don't really want to talk about it at the moment. Most of the time, whenever you're grabbing JSON and you're working with it, you're going to need to work with the way that the text is encoded is just UTF-8. So you'll often use this similar line of code to this. Just keep that in mind. And now, finally, now that we're ready to accept a memory stream, and a stream is just a straw. It allows us to just have data come in and go out. Whenever you have things that are happening at two different speeds, you have something sending data at a different rate of speed than something accepting data, you use a stream. Okay, and so here we're going to use a memory stream. We're just going to keep everything in memory until it all gets sorted out. Data will go in one end and then it'll be taken out as it's needed on the other end. Okay, and then finally, We're going to go ahead and do get the actual data out of the serializer. So read object, and let's also then cast that to a root object, and then we're going to return the data. Okay, so I realize this is pretty meaty stuff here. It looks like there's one last thing that I need to do. If I hover my mouse cursor over this, we've created an async method, but we've not adorned the return object as a task. So we need to say, actually what we're going to be returning is not a root object, but a promise that when this is completed, it will give us the type root object. So that's what a task object is, all right? Okay, so that should work, hopefully. We'll test that out in just a moment here. So let's go over here to our mainpage.xaml and make a call into that. So let's go var weather equals new. Well, actually, let's not do it that way. Let's go root object. My weather equals the open weather map proxy dot get weather, and we'll give it just a fake. Latitude and longitude, because I know we're going to be hard coding that. And this has to be awaited, right? So that means this has to be async, right? Okay. All right, so that looks like that works. Great. Let's move that over a little bit. And now that we have the weather, we should be able to, for example, in the result text block, that text, we should be able to go myweather.name, and then let's concatenate that to my weather. What else can we get here? I think if we do, if we want to get to the temperature, we go to main.temp. There we go. And then I think also we can do this, my plus my weather dot. And what we'll get back with this weather is it'll be a list of weather items. We want the first weather item. I think the other weather items are for different hours or different days. And then we'll say, give me a description of what the weather is. So let's go ahead and run it. I'm sure we'll hit some bugs in just a moment. Yeah. Oh, here we go. That's easy to fix. I got rid of the class, so I have to get rid of that as well. Let's try it now. All right, well, we got our hot pink. At least that's going for us. And I'll click get weather. And awesome. Look, we got Dallas County. Now we get the temperature is 299. All right, so that's Kelvin degrees. We need to use, we can use Celsius for those who live in the metric system, or Fahrenheit for those who live in the imperial system. Okay. But at any rate, I was able to grab out where I'm at currently. So I'm in Dallas County. And this is on my local desktop. I don't have a GPS, but it's able to triangulate based on where my IP address is to determine where I'm coming from. And it can determine that. And then you can see here it's light raining, which is true. And I think it's in the mid 70s, high 70s. We'll have to change that. In fact, I think what I can do here, let's go ahead and play around with this a little bit. we make our call out. I think I can hit do this units equal imperial. See if that's correct. Yeah, so 78 degrees. In fact, let me do one thing here with that, with the temperature. I'm just going to go ahead and go convert that to an integer and then take the whole thing and convert it to string. Like that. And that will get rid of the decimal. Great. All right, one other thing that I want to talk about here before we go any further, and that is, if you look at this, we can also get to icons. If we scroll down, that there are some icons that are associated with, let me see, let me search this icon. Yeah, you can see that it will return back an icon as well. So let's just let's have a little fun with this, actually. Let's add an image control. And let's set its name equal to result image. And I'll just do with 200, height 200. And then what we'll do inside of here is set the result image dot source equal to my weather. And I think in order to get this work, I'm going to have to act on this a little bit. I don't think it's going to give me back the data that it gives us back. If you take a look at this, like an example, it gives us just 04N as the icon. But and if we take a look at this URL, weather conditions. So openweathermap.org/weather-conditions, you can see that there are a bunch of weather icons with specific names, 01D for daytime, 01N for nighttime, 02D for daytime. So this is sunny, partly sunny, cloudy, overcast, you know, it looks like they have the descriptions too here, clear sky, rain, mist. So there's like a 9 or 10 of these things with specific names. So what my thought process is we can access these by going to this URL, for example, openweathermap.org/image/w/10d.png. Let's open that up in a new tab, and you can see that we get that image there, right? So let's do this. Let's grab that URL. I copied it to my clipboard, and let's go string icon equals string.format. Then we'll use that for the most part, but I know we're only going to get that little bit right there from the my weather object. So let's go my weather dot. There should be an icon here. How do I get to the icon? Oh yeah, it's part of weather. So weather dot icon. Great. Now that we have it, we're going to set the source equal to a new bitmap image. Yeah, and I don't have that correct. So I have to add the using statement for windows.ui.xaml.media.imaging. All right, so we've added that, and now I'm going to create a new URI, and the URI will be the string that we just formatted, and I got to tell it what kind of URI I want there. So URI kind dot absolute. All right, so let's see if that works now, and let's run the app. Awesome. All right, so here's my thought. I don't like their icons. It makes the app look too generic. What if I supplied my own version of the icons and I just change wherever we're actually accessing them? I won't go out to openweathermap.org/image/w. I'll just go to my assets folder here. And so we'll do that, I think, in the next video. I think that's the next thing that we'll talk about. If not, it'll be the video after that. And we'll add that in. At least we'll have our own icons, and it'll look very distinctive for the style that we're trying to achieve. Okay, covered a lot of ground in this video, but we talked about a little bit of setup, but mostly about how to get at the data. So we've made huge strides just in this very first video. We'll pick it up in the next one. Thanks.